Chapter 6. Kay makes a visit. Johnny Fontaine was drinking coffee and eating cookies in his ex-wife's house in Los Angeles. Jenny sat on the chair opposite, small, pretty, and dark-haired. Did he still want her? No. His love for her was too old, and there were things he had done for which she could not forgive him. He had come here because he felt comfortable here.
"I was with a girl tonight, but she didn't want to have sex with me," he said. "And I was glad."
"She was just trying to get you interested in her," Jenny replied. "Don't worry about those little whores."
And to his surprise, Johnny realized she was angry with the girl. He shook his head.
"I'm getting old. I'm losing my hair," he said, "and my voice is going. If this picture doesn't make me big again, I'd better learn how to bake pizzas. Or maybe we'll put you in the movies instead. You look great."
Jenny was 35. A good 35, but out here in Hollywood, that might as well be 100. The young, beautiful girls crowded the streets. They lasted 1 year, maybe two. Some of them were so beautiful they could make a man's heart explode. Until they opened their mouths. Jenny smiled at him.
"You already had me, Johnny. Remember? For 12 years. You don't have to say that to me."
He sighed and stretched out on the sofa.
"I'm not joking, Jenny. You look good. I wish I looked that good."
She did not answer him. She could see that he was unhappy.
"I want to see more of the kids," he said. "I want my life to be calmer. Why can't I come every Friday night for dinner here? And when I can, I'll spend weekends here too."
"It's okay with me," Jenny said. "You know I never remarried because I wanted you to keep being their father."
Suddenly, the telephone started ringing. Jenny went to answer it and came back with a look of surprise on her face.
"It's for you," she said. "It's Tom Hagen. He says it's important."
Johnny went into the kitchen and picked up the phone.
"Yeah, Tom," he said.
Tom Hagen's voice was cool.
"Johnny, the Godfather wants me to come out and see you and set some things up that can help you now that the picture is finished. He wants me to catch the 11:30 morning plane out of New York and fly back the same night. Can someone meet me at the airport?"
"Yeah," Johnny said. He went back to the living room, and Jenny looked at him.
"My Godfather has some plans for me," Johnny said. "He got me the part in the movie. I don't know how. But I wish he'd stay out of the rest of my life."
The following morning, Johnny Fontaine and Tom Hagen were alone in the living room of Johnny's beachside house in Los Angeles. Johnny had a glass of whiskey in his hand. There was a tension between them. Johnny had never forgiven Hagen for blocking his calls to the Don after he had left Jenny, and Hagen had never said sorry. It was his job, so how could he?
"Your Godfather sent me out here to give you some help now that the picture is finished," Hagen said. "He wants to know if you have the brains and courage to become a movie producer on your own, to make your own movies completely."
"Yes, I have the brains and the courage," replied Johnny thoughtfully. "But I don't have the money."
Hagen said carefully,
We want you to start making plans to produce 3 of your own movies. Employ the best people in the business, whoever you need. Plan on 3 to 5 movies.
You're crazy, said Johnny. That many movies could cost $20 million.
When you need the money, Hagen said, let me know. I'll give you the name of the bank to approach out here in California. Don't worry, they'll approve it. But first you'll have to see me and tell me the numbers and the plans. Okay?
Johnny was silent for a while. Then he said quietly,
is there anything else?
Hagen smiled.
You mean, do you have to do any favors for borrowing $20 million? Of course you will. But it's nothing you wouldn't do anyway if the Don asked you. The Don has promised not to involve you in any way in anything that might harm your reputation. I promise that any favor he asks of you, you'll do before he requests it. Okay?
Johnny smiled. Okay, he said. If a stupid guy like Jack Woltz can be a big movie producer, anyone can. About 1 month after the shooting of Salazzo, Kay Adams got out of a taxi in front of the Corleone Mall in Long Beach. She had phoned. She was expected. Tom Hagen met her at the door, and she was disappointed it was him. She knew he would tell her nothing. In the living room, he gave her a drink. She asked him directly,
do you know where Mike is? I've not seen or heard from him since he went to visit his father in hospital. I had some detectives visit me at my parents' home in New Hampshire 3 days ago asking questions. They said that Mike had an argument with a police captain at the hospital. He hit Mike and broke his jaw. 2 nights later, the captain was shot dead. They think Mike did it.
Hagen said smoothly,
yes, that's true about his jaw. But Mike had nothing to do with the shooting. We know he's all right, but we don't know where he is right now. When he heard about the shooting, he was afraid the police would accuse him, so he's decided to disappear. Why don't you wait a bit? I'm sure Mike will be in touch.
Kay finished her drink and got up to leave. Hagen led her to the hall, but as he opened the front door, a short, round woman came in from outside. Kay recognized Michael's mother. She held out her hand and said,
how are you, Mrs. Corleone?
The woman's small black eyes smiled at her for a moment. Then she said warmly in broken English,
you Mikey's little girl. You eat something.
Then she led Kay by the hand into the kitchen and made her sit down while she moved busily around. Hagen followed them. Kay said quietly,
I came to ask about Mike. I haven't heard from him. Mr. Hagen says nobody knows where he is, but he'll be home in a little while.
That's all we can tell her now, Ma,
Hagen said quickly. Mrs. Corleone gave him an impatient look.
Now you going to tell me what to do? Even my husband doesn't tell me what to do.
She made the sign of the cross in the air.
Is Mr. Corleone all right?
Asked Kay.
Fine,
said Mrs. Corleone, knocking her head with her hand.
He's getting old and stupid to let something like that happen.
She poured some coffee and forced Kay to eat some bread and cheese. After they had finished eating, Mrs. Corleone took one of Kay's hands in her 2 brown ones.
she said quietly.
Mikey, no gonna write you. You no gonna hear from Mikey. He hide 2, 3 years, maybe much more. You go home to your family and find nice young man. Get married.
She led Kay to the door and kissed her on the cheek.
You forget Mikey, she said. He no the man for you anymore.
There was a car waiting for Kay with 2 men in the front. They drove her to her hotel in New York, never saying a word. Neither did Kay. She was trying to get used to the fact that the young man she had loved was a cold-blooded murderer. And she had just been told this by the person she could most trust to tell her the truth. His mother.